I'm turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 44. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Our subject this evening is the unseen part of Calvary. And here it's recorded not only in the Gospel of Luke, but in the Gospel of Matthew and of Mark also, the phenomenon of the 3 hours of darkness, the second portion of the suffering of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now Calvary, as I'm sure you know, the cross of Calvary is the center of everything eternal. It's the heart of the Christian message. We have the gospel, which means the good news, the gospel of Christ. But there's no good news without Calvary and the suffering and death of Christ on Calvary. From the very first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 is the first prophecy, the first prediction of the great descendant of Adam and Eve who would one day come into the world, the seed of the woman, through whom there would be blessing for all who would crush, who would bruise the serpent's head. And so it was all through the Old Testament, a constant stream of prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, of Christ, who would deal with the problem of sin, the great problem of sin. There is God in all his holiness and his purity and his perfection. And there is the human race fallen and in sin. And there is no hope for the human race. It can never be reconciled with God. It can never approach God. It can never have his blessing. It can never have eternal life. Not one member of the human race can ever earn or deserve his or her way out of the condemnation which is upon sin and upon guilt. The holiness of God completely prevents, precludes any salvation for men and women until Christ, who is God, second person of the triune Godhead, came into this world to suffer and to die on Calvary, to bear there the eternal punishment due to all who would ever repent and seek the mercy of God. He bore their punishment away. What took place on the cross of Calvary was a pain and a punishment far beyond human comprehension. Something which was, if you like, the equivalent of eternal punishment for millions and millions of people beyond our understanding and our grasp. And yet in the middle of it, because Christ suffered and died for 6 hours on Calvary's cross, that great punishment was somehow compressed into that time. In the middle of that time, everything was plunged into darkness. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's from noon until 3 p.m., the last half, the last 3 hours of the sufferings of Christ were in darkness. It fell suddenly, spectacularly. It brought a tremendous alarm and anxiety into the hearts of the people. There were gathered the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, a vast concourse of ordinary people from Jerusalem and pilgrims also, all screaming and shouting for the death of Christ. Most of them had admired him and marveled at him as their great healer, and surely they thought at the very least an outstanding prophet. But now they've been whipped up into a frenzy by their chief priests and their clergy, and they're shouting for his destruction, his crucifixion. And so it's happened. And he's been nailed to the cross. And he's allowed himself to be arrested and taken and nailed there in seeming weakness, because it is his will, his voluntary purpose, to be offered up. And as they scream and shout and yell, suddenly the darkness. We can't account for it, we can't explain it, except that it was an act of God. And everybody is stunned. Don't forget, for all their waywardness, they were trained as a religious people. And their prophets of old had all spoken of a time when there would be total darkness, a complete disappearance of light, which was the signal of approaching judgment. And they naturally thought, is this a kind of divine judgment? Is something terrible going to happen? Is this the end? There was anxiety in their hearts and fear and concern. And for 3 hours, they stood there, stock still, silent, many no doubt trembling, wondering what this was all about. And the question we naturally ask is, why? Why? The hymn writers have visited this. Isaac Watts, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. But why was this great darkness given? And I'm going to try to answer that with a few headings this evening, all too briefly, I'm afraid. It was an act of God that Christ should spend the last half of his terrible suffering in darkness. And the first reason I offer you is this. It marks his great dignity. It was not going to be allowed that the insults and the derision and the screaming should go on for the whole duration of the suffering of Christ on Calvary. It is through Christ that the universe was created. Scripture tells us so, that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit deputed to Christ the work of creation. He is high and lifted up. He is equal with the Father. He is eternal God. He is divine. And his dignity is going to be marked even as he suffers. Defiled eyes are not going to be allowed to stare at him for that 3 hours. The insults and the hatred will all be dramatically silenced. The people will be subdued and afraid and rendered deeply thoughtful. There's going to be a perspective of fear and reverence put into that great crowd. And it happened. Amazing. Spectacular. A sudden change. So that's just the first thought for us this evening, that it marks the person of Christ. Who is this who is suffering and dying on Calvary's cross? It's the eternal second person of the triune Godhead, in astonishing love, who's come to bear away the guilt of sin for all who would be saved. The word condescension isn't big enough in its best sense to describe the coming of Christ and the stooping down into our world and the assuming of our burden and our punishment. It is to mark his being and his dignity. But there's surely a second reason. It is to mark the extreme and the extent of his suffering. The darkness signifies that what is going on Calvary's cross is a phenomenon that cannot be observed and understood by observation. It's far too profound. It's far too massive. The pain of Christ, it can't be described in terms of what can be seen. If you looked, you could see the open wounds created by the scourging that had been inflicted upon him. When he had been bound over a stone in the manner of an ancient scourging, and lashed and lashed and lashed until the blood ran and the wounds were deep. And it had happened not once, but twice. And some understandings of the gospel point out possibly three times. And this wounded man, the Son of Man, the Man of Love, was then nailed through hands and feet to Calvary's cross, and he hung there in physical agony. You could see that, but what was taking place was something far too great to be registered by the human eye. The eternal weight of sin of all who would be saved and forgiven. And so there's the darkness. This cannot be seen, it said. This cannot be measured. This cannot be assigned a quantity. The death of Christ on Calvary. People have made films. Passion, depicting the sufferings of Christ. Perhaps they mean well. Can't be done. It's all too inadequate. It cannot be seen. It cannot be measured. It's vastly too great. And the 3 hours of darkness, that's the message. This is something too great for human observation. This isn't a spectacle. This is a transaction. This is a mighty transaction where Christ takes the punishment due and suffers so as to satisfy the righteous indignation of Almighty God towards sinners. It's a transaction. You hear of the deficit of the United States of America, and you read of it in so many trillion dollars, and you see it written down perhaps sometimes in a paper, and all those noughts, those zeros, you can't visualize that. You can't in your mind assign a quantity to that. That represents so many banknotes, I can see them in my mind's eye. Even on earth, there are sums beyond your grasp. They're so huge. And this succeeds them all. The pain and the suffering of Christ on Calvary's cross, it must be carried out under darkness the last 3 hours. But I must hurry. Here's a third aspect of the darkness and what it signifies. It particularly signifies one aspect of the sufferings of Christ, and that is his astonishing sense of forsakenness. My God, he cries out, quoting Psalm 22, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew the answer. His cry is for our benefit. It is to register that he was truly bearing the punishment due to us for our sin, not only in pangs of pain, but in a sense, a terrible sense of separation from God. He who could not spiritually be separated from the Father, for they are one, yet in his felt experience, suffered our separation. Why hast thou forsaken me? If I die unrepentant, unforgiven, unconverted, I must come to the end of life and I must experience the most dreadful sensation of eternal separation from God as I go into punishment. Deserted by God, forsaken by God, all good and all blessing removed from my touch and my experience. I must experience that, and Christ had to experience it, multiplied by the vast number of people whom he was dying to save. Christ bore away our desolation, our abandonment, our rejection, our loneliness. Darkness equals loneliness and terrible despair. And so the second part of his suffering was under total darkness to signify that aspect of what he went through in order to secure our forgiveness and our salvation if we turn to him. And then there's a fourth point I wish to make swiftly, and it's this. The 3 hours darkness are a kind of call from God. Don't you see it? The hostile crowd suddenly silenced and made to think. It's as though this darkness falling said, stop, stop. And they did stop. They stopped shouting. Even the high priests, the chief priests, stopped the abuse, stopped the derision. Consider him. Consider what is going on. And they were afraid. Is it judgment? Is something terrible about to happen? That darkness was a call. It said, who is here? Who is suffering? You've heard him preach. You've heard the message. You have the scriptures. You have the prophets. You know Messiah is coming, who would do miracles and wonderful works. Think. And they did think. They were in awe and fear and reverence. It was a moment of extreme discomfort and wondering and apprehension. A seed was being sown. Before very long, he would rise from the dead. Then eventually would come the day of Pentecost, and the apostle preacher would, Peter would preach the first sermon of the new church order. And 3,000 of these very people who had watched the crucifixion would be humbled to the dust, and they would cry out, what shall we do? They would be pierced to the heart. The seed was sown in the 3 hours of darkness, those awesome, solemnizing hours when they couldn't say a word and could only wonder. And the fruit was born, and the light and the understanding of salvation came on the day of Pentecost. Then another 5,000 were converted, and then even more after that. But it was sown right here. It's a kind of call. Happened to me in a sense when I was a youngster, full of scorn for the things of God, not interested, so confident. And then a day came when God, by a work of the Holy Spirit, humbled me. This is what happens to us all when we're converted. And I began to think, and I was afraid. And these things became meaningful. And only then did I begin to understand. And the 3 hours of darkness was a solemnizing call. May it happen in your heart, dear friend, the call of God. But then there's a fifth point. it was not only a call, it was a clouding over of scornful eyes. For 3 hours, the doubters, the cynics, the God-haters, the opponents shouted and yelled. For 3 hours, they could see Christ dying on Calvary. For them, it was as though the darkness said, "Enough! Now you will see nothing. You have scorned what you've seen. From now on, you will see nothing." It signifies not only a call to human hearts, but a shutting off of understanding for all who willfully reject Christ. They couldn't see the latter part of what was going on. Didn't matter if they were erudite clergy, leaders of the people, didn't matter. They were blind to what was going on. They couldn't see the point. They couldn't understand the great thing that was happening. 3 hours, and then the day of opportunity for them closes, and their understanding is plunged into darkness. It's a warning to us. If we do not listen, and we will not consider the Son of God, the Saviour of mankind, we shall be prevented from understanding anything. Because that's what the scripture repeatedly says. The proud, God turns away. And he does. But my last point is this. The sixth thing about these 3 hours of darkness, it was going to be the last miracle of Christ before he passed from the scene. The last miracle of his earthly life. He ended the 3 hours of darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then shortly afterwards, the darkness is lifted, and he is able to point to his mother, to direct her to the disciple John for safekeeping. The people are able to see him again. They're able to advance to the cross to offer up things to him. But he says, "It is finished." And he gives up the spirit, the ghost. And that's the end of his earthly life. Let's say the Father imposed the darkness, and Christ, at his own word, terminates it. Now begins the era of daylight. The gospel will be preached. People will be converted. Millions will come to see what Christ was doing on that cross, that he was bearing away the sin of all who repent and seek his love and seek new life from him. So he banishes the darkness and he gives up the ghost. Light will stream from Calvary and the gospel harvest will shortly begin. So the 3 hours of darkness, they mark Christ's dignity. Who is he? He is God, incarnate, dying for sinners. They show the extreme nature of his suffering. It cannot be seen and measured by human eyes. They show us just a glimpse of his forsakenness, the pinnacle of his pain to bear separation from the Father. They show us his call, because the darkness made so many people think and fear and wonder. They show us the warning, the clouding over of scornful eyes. They would not be allowed to see the residue of the suffering of Christ. And they show that Christ is Lord. He lifts the darkness. It marks the accomplishment of what he came to do, the bringing of salvation, the suffering and dying for sin, the securing of forgiveness for all who seek his love. This is the atonement. The atoning death of Christ. This is the heart of the Christian message. For conversion, we believe in this. We trust in this, and this alone, as the way of forgiveness and new life. And we come and we ask God to save us and to change us. And we yield our lives to him. And we repent of our sin. And he hears us. Christ has already purchased salvation for all who call upon him. That's our message tonight, dear friends. 6 of the possible points why Christ on Calvary was plunged into total darkness for 3 hours. May God bless this to every one of us, to appreciate the depth of what he, the Saviour, did. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, show us the profound nature of Calvary's cross, but move in our hearts. O Lord, show us our need. Show us our terrible plight and tragedy without Christ. Show us redemption and eternal life, and call us to thyself. O Lord, may there be those this night hearing this message who trust themselves to Christ and trust in what he has done alone for salvation. Look upon us, help us, and bless us all. We ask it in his name for his sake. Amen.